I'm Pastor Lauer from Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at this same time. Our Savior's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. Sunday services are at 8 and 10:30 a.m. During this pandemic, our services are in our parking lot. Drive in, listen, and receive with us all the blessings that God has to give.
Jesus said to his disciples, "So you also will have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." This is our text. It's interesting to write a sermon during the season of Easter, because every funeral sermon is really an Easter sermon. And when you have a funeral sermon during Easter, the joy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ comes the most clear. So today I want to share with you a message which I first delivered 10 days ago at the funeral of Ray Krueger. Changed, of course, for this morning. But let's take a look at the really big picture that has the death and resurrection of Jesus at the center. So we have to go all the way back to the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, when God created the heavens and the earth. After each day of creating, God looked at what he had created that day and he said, "It is good." After all 6 days of creating, God rested from his work of creating and he looked at everything that he had made and he said, "It is very good." And then the Lord rested from his work of creating and the first man and the first woman enjoyed all that God had given them. Even though the creation which God has given us has now been corrupted by sin, we still can see that the physical creation, that this physical life we've been given, is very good. That's what people are talking about when they marvel at a sunrise, or when they talk about how unbelievable it is at the birth of a newborn, this beautiful little perfect gift from God that just boggles our mind how God can make that happen. God gives us beautiful days, many earthly blessings to celebrate, and a connection between husbands and wives and fathers and children and mothers and children and between brothers and sisters, which, though tainted by sin, all of these relationships in our families are wonderful models of our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus calls the church his bride. And each of us with Jesus, who has called us his brothers and sisters. In other words, our family relationships show us God's many blessings, which are for our physical lives. The voice, the touch, the face of a loved one gives real, tangible joy that makes human life so wonderfully tied to the physical world. But some people would disregard all of this. They want to get rid of anything that's physical or earthly or bodily. They want to discount the physical creation and insist that the only things that matter are the spiritual things. They seem to think that anything which has to do our bodies or with enjoying this creation which God has given us is bad, while spiritual things, apart from the body, they must be good or at least better. They may have gotten that idea from certain philosophies or from other religions, but I tell you that is not the message of the Bible. Long, long ago, the prophet Job wrote, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth." Job's talking about a physical Redeemer. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. He's saying that when God comes, that Job himself is going to be in a body, in his own flesh, he said. And with his own eyes, he will see God. More than 1,000, maybe 2,000 years before Christ, Job is describing a bodily resurrection from the dead. And not only that, but to see God with his own eyes is saying that even God will be able to be seen, as we know he has a body, by becoming man in Jesus Christ. No doubt Job knew his history. He knew what God had promised to Adam and Eve, that the descendant of the woman, that is, a person like any of us, would crush the serpent and all the harm that he had brought into the world. Job also knew that God had walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God so loved his creation that he interacted with his creatures in ways that they, even in the Garden of Eden, could see him and hear him. If we jump then up to the Gospels, the time when Jesus walked the earth, we hear that Jesus is saying the same sort of thing. Yes, he was God who took on our human flesh and blood in order to save us. But the scriptures are clear that Jesus did not leave a body behind in the tomb after the crucifixion. But he was raised, his body in his body, and then ascended into heaven in his body. He said to his disciples, "I am going to prepare a place for you. And I will come back to take you to be with me where I am. There's nothing in those words from Jesus that talk about taking the soul but leaving the body behind. Instead, Jesus is going to a place to prepare a place for his disciples. He is going to take them there. This is all bodily language. Spirits don't need places to live in the Father's kingdom. But people with bodies need places to live. The many mansions that Jesus talks about in the Father's kingdom are for real people, just as we are real people today. Except there, we won't have any sin or corruption, suffering or death to contend with. The scriptures call heaven the new creation. We like to think about, well, we're going to go to heaven. And TV movies and such depict us on clouds with wings and halos and playing harps. Not at all the sort of vision that John had. John said he saw the new Jerusalem, the city of God, coming down. The old heaven and earth passed away, and there was a new creation for newly created people, us, God's people. Listen to what Paul wrote about Jesus. He said, "Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection from the dead? If there's no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." You see, everything that we believe about Jesus, that he's the Son of God and the Savior of the world, everything depends upon Jesus being physically crucified and physically raised from the dead. In fact, if we take away the empty tomb and leave the body of Jesus in the grave, then everything we believe about him falls apart. Again, the apostle goes on saying, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive." You see, life, that fully human life which God created on the sixth day and which he proclaimed to be very good, was a physical life that had been made spiritually alive by the Spirit of God. A body made alive by the breath of God. These first human beings, Adam and Eve, were the whole purpose for the creation. The whole cosmos was an ark, a container for the crowning purpose of God's creation, the harmonious union of body and soul, spirit and flesh. So it was then through the bodily resurrection of Jesus that the new creation was made possible. As Paul wrote, death came to us all through Adam, but life comes through Jesus Christ. His bodily resurrection is the first fruits, the first of all who will be raised from the dead. And this is really, when it comes right down to it, the reason for our joy at Easter. That Jesus was raised from the dead. For us, death no longer means leaving behind the joys of this world as faceless and unrecognizable spirits. No. Instead, you will still be you, as Job wrote, "In my flesh I shall see God. I myself will see him, and not another." It's not like our spirit becomes something completely different. We are still us. The people that you have known and loved, the people that you've shared your life with, will be the same people in the new creation because of the resurrection of Jesus. Certainly the same Jesus who was born of Mary, who gave his life, was raised, and was recognizable, and could be seen and heard and touched, not only before his ascension into heaven, but also when you and I will see him there. He's not a different Jesus now in heaven than he was, although now his glory is no longer hidden, but revealed. And in the kingdom of heaven, we will still know who he is and what he did. So if that's what we know about Jesus, the first of those to be raised from the dead, then we can say the same thing about all the rest of us whom God has promised to raise with Jesus. If you are missing the face, the sound, the touch of a loved one, then know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that you will see them and hear them and touch them again. And it will be the same person that you have known here, except without any sin or evidence of sin. We are going to see the same Ray Krueger, the same Larry Willett, the same Don Schlichting and all the rest that we have known here, except without any sin or evidence of sin. And that is what the resurrection of Jesus has done for us. The new creation. There you will be you and I will be me, except we'll be the people that God intended for us to be. Without sin in us, on us, or around us. And this will happen sooner than you think. On that day, we will know one another as we will also know the Lord. This is the Lord's gift to us all and to all who have believed that this is who Jesus is and this is what Jesus does. Why doesn't God do that for everybody? He does. For all who will look to him to do it. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at oslcmankato.org.